Welcome. Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church and our Bible study period, referred to as Sunday School. Sunday School. Today, we want to take a look at Judgment Begins at the House of God. We're going to be looking at the first chapter of Isaiah in its entirety and take what we see in that chapter to apply it to this title, Judgment Begins at the House of God. Since we're dealing with the prophet Isaiah, I want to read from the first and second letters of Peter concerning the prophets and prophecy. In speaking of the salvation of souls, Peter says in chapter 1, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, who was in them, in these prophets, was indicating when he testified, the Spirit of God testifying in and through these prophets, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that, to these prophets, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, the Christians of today, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." That indeed is what I'm involved in this very moment. Things which angels desire to look into. And now reading from Peter's second letter, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man." Did you hear that? "Never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke, moved by the Holy Spirit," carried along by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah, one of the prophets, a holy man of God, moved by the Holy Spirit, even the Spirit of Christ, who led Isaiah and guided him to record his book of prophecy. Isaiah chapter 1, again, we're going to be dealing with the entire book. Only half as many verses, less than half as many verses as we saw last week when we dealt with Psalm 78. Verse 1. "The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." Isaiah has a vision from God. He sees main points concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, not only do we see things concerning Judah and Jerusalem, and this is central to the book of Isaiah, but Samaria, Syria, Babylon, Moab, Ethiopia, Egypt, Edom, Tyre, all those are mentioned and will have some connection with the true people of God. Isaiah goes ahead and begins speaking as the mouthpiece of God. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Notice that right away. A universal call. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Things that the angels like to look into. For the Lord has spoken. In that vision, God spoke to Isaiah. Now, those of you who would make light of that, make fun of that, say that's just ridiculous. Oh, I pray God will give you ears to hear today. And then you will know what the people of God know. Isaiah speaks as the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox, the dumb animal, the ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib, the feeder for that animal. Israel, people, human beings, does not know. My people do not consider. Their minds are elsewhere, where animals know by nature, human beings are not mindful of their maker. Now, before we go any further, as we have spoken of Judah and Jerusalem, we are speaking in a time here where the kingdom, the nation was split. In the north, you had the kingdom of Israel. In the south, you had the kingdom of Judah. Jerusalem being the capital of Judah. In verse 4, as I'm reading now, I believe God is addressing the entire nation, Israel and Judah. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. Now again, when I see that kind of language, I think of the Israel of God. Those who recognize God as the Holy One of the true church. The Israel of God. They have turned away backward. Now listen to this. This is extremely pointed and harsh language. Friends, the worst thing that can happen to any of us is that God would leave us alone. Why, says God, why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. I think of Romans chapter 1, where God gives them up, gives them over. Why do I need to keep chastising you? You're only going to revolt anyway. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, no soundness in it. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Not a pleasant picture. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. In other words, the affliction goes on. This self-imposed condition of these people who have forsaken God. The Lord goes further. Your country, desolate. Your cities, burned with fire. Strangers, devour your land in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Now listen. A hopeful point made. So the daughter of Zion, folks, that's Jerusalem. The daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers. Now listen to the next verse. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would be like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Folks, this remnant, this Jerusalem in the midst as a besieged city of all this revolt, this rebellion, is the true Israel of God. This is where the church is. In the midst of all the evil doing, yet remaining separate. To those not of that remnant, God says, hear the word of the Lord. And you know, we can just pass right by that now. I can just pass right over that and just keep on reading. If you have an ear to hear, hear the word of the Lord. Not everyone, as a matter of fact, most everyone does not hear the word of the Lord. It may come where it can be physically heard, but they're not listening. Have you ever been around somebody and you're speaking to them and you know they're not listening to you? They're not listening. Hear the word of the Lord. You rulers of Sodom, give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Again, likening those rebellious ones in the nation of Israel, both Judah and Israel at that time when it was split, likening them to Sodom and Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? What are you doing this for? Why are you going through the motions like this? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, listen to that. When you come to appear before God, who has required this of your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain sacrifices. Folks, those sacrifices are futile. Those sacrifices are useless. Their minds and hearts are anywhere but in seeking forgiveness from God. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, these special meetings that you have. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Goodness. That sounds a bit to me like many church services today. The sacred meeting, that one time a week that we go and we play church. Oh, goodness. God rejects that entirely, folks. It is useless. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me, says God. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. He's not looking at this, folks. If it's not from the heart, he's not looking at that. Even though you make many prayers, there's some folks who give some eloquent prayers, aren't they? Aren't there? Eloquent prayers. God says, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Now, God makes an appeal, even after saying what he just said. He makes an appeal. Ever faithful to his word, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from my eyes, from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Let me warn you again, folks. You can do every one of those things. You can go through the motions of doing every one of those things. But if you haven't done it from the heart, it means nothing. As a matter of fact, it's only heaping hot coals upon your own head. God goes further. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient. Now, those of you who know the scriptures realize no one's ever going to be willing until the Lord God makes them willing in the day of his power. What a merciful day. Oh my goodness. Such mercy from the Lord God. If you are willing and obedient. See, if you're truly willing from the heart, as made so by the Holy Spirit of God, you will be obedient. The two go hand in hand. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Yes, you'll feed upon Christ. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Revelation 1:16, the Lord Jesus Christ standing there, and out of his mouth went a two-edged sword. And folks, it surely can devour if it's refused and rebelled against. Now, Jerusalem. That Jerusalem of old, how the faithful city has become a harlot. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. It was full of justice. This brings to mind here this idea of harlotry, the fact that they had a husband and committed fornication and adultery by seeking after other gods, becoming an adulterous harlot. A city that was full of justice, righteousness lodged in it previously, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross. Your wine mixed with water. This sort of gives me the thought of the church at Laodicea, thinking they were in such good shape, when indeed they were full of dross. They were mostly water and not wine. Your princes, rebellious, and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. Think about so many so-called bishops, apostles, pastors, men and women today in America. Rebellious, thieves, loving bribes, following after rewards, health, and wealth. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Now, folks, please listen closely now. We come to a spot, the center of this message today, judgment beginning at the house of God. Going to see what Isaiah has to say. I'm telling you by no means that is this exhaustive, but I hope it gives us some thoughts along the lines of understanding better judgment beginning at the house of God. Verse 24, Isaiah chapter 1. Therefore, after these things he said thus far, therefore the Lord says, again, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. And again, folks, I can do nothing myself but think on the Israel of God, the true church. Ah, says God, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you, he says to those enemies, and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy, that which is impure. Now listen to me. Please listen to me. I want to talk about the final judgment in relation to heavenly Jerusalem. Again here, he's mentioned Judah and Jerusalem. Judah, his elect, heavenly Jerusalem, the true church. And take a look at God ridding himself of adversaries, purging all the dross. God, folks, in this final judgment, will purge his church of all false professors and take them out of the way. Now, where do you have scripture for that? Well, I've got a pretty good amount here that I'd like to bring to your attention. Judgment begins at the house of God. Revelation 21, 27. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. You can't really get in if this is not true. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. Revelation 22, 16. None of these shall finally enter heavenly Jerusalem, the church, Christ's bride. In this world, the tares may grow together with the wheat, but at the end, God will purge his church of all dross and alloy. I'd like to read something for you that God just kaboom popped this into my mind. In Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. This is so explicit in talking about exactly what we're saying here. God purging his church of everything impure. Judgment begins at the house of God. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. Now, I'm skipping some verses here to get to the center of what I want to tell you. This king commands his servants, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite them to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was filled with guests. Now listen, God's going to purge his church at the final judgment. But when the king came in to see his guests, the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to his servants, "Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Remember what we just read there in Isaiah. God is going to purge away the dross and take away all the alloy. He's going to rid himself of adversaries. Folks, there are a lot of, you know this, is true. There are many, many, many folks in the so-called church today who don't have on a wedding garment. They're not clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And they're not going to remain in the so-called church. When it comes to that final judgment, God is going to purge it. Judgment begins at the house of God. Now I want us to read, as we move to closing now, verses 25 through 27. In other words, we're going to read verse 25 again and go through verse 27. Because this is going to be dealing with God's people. Judgment begins at the house of God. "I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy." Friends, God afflicts us day by day when necessary. And oh, it seems terrible. The fire of God's judgment, in the sense that he is afflicting us and making us more like Christ. "I will restore your judges as at the first, and your counselors as at the beginning. afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Now, what does he mean by saying afterward? Zion, again, holy Jerusalem, shall be redeemed with justice. Oh, my goodness. How did we become part of holy Jerusalem? Because we were redeemed by the justice of God in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, listen now, and Zion's and her penitents. Your King James says converts. The word has to do with repenting. And her repentant ones with righteousness. Now listen, judgment beginning at the house of God. Repentance is an ongoing, everyday exercise of each Christian's heart and mind as God purges us of our ungodliness and makes us more like Christ day by day. This is our progressive sanctification, our progressive holiness. God making us more like Jesus. God purging from us all the dross and taking away every impure thing. Now keep in mind, we're going to see something now that was written 2,000 years ago in a moment, but it's been ongoing since that point. Now I'm going to finish out with the book of Isaiah's first chapter, the destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together. And those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Our God is a consuming fire. For they shall be ashamed of the great trees, I think the King James says oaks, which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as a great tree whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. What do gardens that have no water do? They perish. They die. And this is what most of our earth's population will suffer. The strong shall be as tinder, stuff that you start a fire with, and the work of it as a spark. The ones who are the tinder will spark the fire that destroys themselves. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench. Yes, our God is a consuming fire, eternally unquenchable. Now we close with the verses from which our title is taken. Again, may I bring to your remembrance, this was written over 2,000 years ago. But Peter says, for the time is for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? judgment begins. At the house of God, God's people purged from their dross and alloy, made pure for the marriage with Christ, but the rest will be purged, period. Cast into everlasting darkness. Judgment begins at the house of God. Amen.